Okay.
Okay. Welcome everyone to the March 4th Clackamas County Solid Waste Commission. We've got a pretty full agenda, so hopefully we can make it through it all today, but we'll start out with introductions. I always like to start with Rick, and then maybe we can go to your left on the table.
Sure. So Rick Winterhalter with Clackamas County, and I'm going to be probably turning the meeting, running the meeting over to Kate in a little bit, but go ahead. And I know we have some new members as well, so it's exciting to have new folks. What?
That's your right.
Oh, I know.
I'm Angela Goble. I'm with Clackamas County. I started in September. I'm helping out with communications.
I'm Kate Taylor. I'm also with Clackamas County, and I'm focusing on franchise administration and Solid Waste Commission.
I'm Will Mathias. I'm CFO for B&B Leasing Hauler here in Oregon City.
And I'm Chad Euler, county resident and current chair of this commission.
Chris?
I'm Chris Lamar. I'm a new member.
I'm Carlton Palmier. I'm with Waste Management, industry representative.
And I'm Dawn Lumis. I'm also a new member.
I'm Julie Hamilton. I'm with Clackamas County, and I work in public health.
All right. Should we do?
I think we should.
Going down the line.
Some esteemed guests here today.
Okay. Hi, I'm Melanie Wagner. I'm the city manager for City of Estacada. I haven't ever actually come to me, so glad to be here today.
Beth Vargas Duncan, the regional director with Oregon Refuse and Recycling Association. In that capacity, I'm not representing Oregon, but I staff the Clackamas County Refuse and Recycling Association. The haulers.
I'm Cindy Rogers with Republic Services.
Tennille Bissette-Thillock with Clackamas County Sustainability and Solid Waste.
I'm Chris Wright with Waste Connections. I'm site manager for our KU Waste Companies.
Josh Brown, district manager for Waste Connections, work with Chris, along with our Aerosanitary District in Clackamas County and others. So nice to see everybody.
Hi, Dan Blue with Recology, do government relations for all of our operations in Northern Oregon.
Yeah, Sean Lamont, operations manager for Recology Clackamas.
All right, thank you everyone, welcome. Next item on our agenda is recruitment updates, and welcome to our new members. So that turns over to Kate.
Sure. So welcome to Dawn and Chris. We had 8 applicants, and we are just really excited to bring them on board. They have a great background and great interests, and so I think I'm going to let them go ahead and introduce themselves. I know I'd mentioned in the email that maybe we could share a little bit about, for each of us, for everyone's benefit, our background, why we wanted to serve on the commission. And if you feel comfortable, a fun fact, if you want to share it, if you don't, that's okay. But just for everyone on the commission to share that. So maybe if we start with Dawn, does that sound okay?
Okay, sure. I'm Dawn Lumis. I am familiar with solid waste recycling and all that because I went through the Master Recycler program probably about 15 years ago, and I've been volunteering in the community for many different things, not so much lately because of my job, but in the past I was president, treasurer, vice president, all of those things for the Mount Hood Green Scene. So we put on a lot of events up in the mountain area so that people wouldn't have to come to Oregon City to do a lot of their recycling, a lot of education and things out there too, a lot of listening to community members about what their needs are. I went through the Energy Steward program here at Clackamas County when it was happening long ago also. And then just when we had a sustainability committee at work, I was on that, and you know, just an interest. So I wanted to keep connected, but my job doesn't allow me to have a ton of time to do things, so keep connected to this world.
Excellent. We're glad to have you. Chris, would you like to?
Oh, jeez.
It's not optional,
I think
evidently.
I can't remember one right now, so I'll think about it.
It'll randomly come out.
I'm Chris Lamar. I've been a resident in Oregon for 52 years this June. I graduated from law law school and moved out here to become a VISTA volunteer attorney. 1984, I was elected to the Multnomah County Circuit Court bench. And although I did and could run a courtroom, I was far more interested in helping people resolve conflicts. So I became known as the settlement judge and got to travel all over the country and the world. Actually, I was taught in the Philippines and Argentina and London, and 15 years at the National Judicial College. After I retired about 15 years ago, I needed something to do, and my husband and I had bought an acre. I hadn't the vaguest idea how to landscape or keep my environment healthy, and healthy plants and our place had a lot to do, and Lord knows I've done all of it. And so I took the Master Gardener course, and my favorite part of it was soils and nutrients and decomposition and soil microbes. And while I was waiting to start volunteering, the Master Recycler course became available. So I've actually been doing both of those for 15 years this month. I started recycling when I was about 10. The minister's wife would collect metal and glass. I don't know what she did with it. And frankly, in Lafayette, Indiana, it hasn't advanced much past that.
Nobody knows.
But she died, so that's the end of that, you know. Funny little drop footnote. When I was a baby lawyer, I had a divorce case. Two older people didn't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of, and they were too old to have minor children. So we didn't take any depositions in the case. And we walk into the courtroom, and Judge Harlow Lennon, if you've ever known Harlow Lennon, probably one of the most brilliant jurists that we've had in the state, but he was stuck in family law at the trial court level, and he was bored to tears. We walked into the courtroom, never having met each other, and the other attorneys first, and then her client, the husband, and then me, and then my client. And Judge Lennon leans across the bench, and he says, "Well, good morning, Senator Roberts." I nearly laid an egg. Well, fast forward about 35 years, she officiated over the wedding between me and her son. So Betty Roberts, the mother of the bottle bill, was my mother-in-law. It hasn't filtered down to any of her children that I can tell, but and my husband and I have been cleaning things out, you know, as we are wont to do in our 70s. And I came across a notebook, a scrapbook actually, that I thought I'd share something with you about one of these weird things that kind of changes the course of your life that you don't realize at the time that it's going to have such an impact. When I was in high school, I was a competitor in public speaking. And I was in the type that whatever topic U.S. News and World reported, that was what the topic was that we were given. Not a lot of sex, violence, romance, anything. And I graduated, went to Purdue. A friend of mine talked me into running, putting my name in to be a part of the Miss Purdue pageant. And I thought, well, I have to have a talent, and I can't talk about, you know, world recessions, or USAID, of course, that still existed then. And so I remember that I had judged one of the high school competitions, and because when you do just one thing, you never get to hear anybody in any of the other types of competition. And so I remembered judging a young woman who did a humorous interpretation. I thought, well, that really was very funny. Maybe I can find it and adopt it for my talent. So I did. It is, if any of you have ever seen the play Auntie Mame, where the fox is chasing the horse, right? Well, I had to find jodhpurs. I'd never met a horse, let alone anybody that owned a horse or dressed for dressage. But I managed to track it down and gave the speech. It was the first time in all of my public speaking that I ever had people laughing so hard that I had to pause because they weren't going to hear what I said next. It was a hilarious 3-minute type thing.
Well, Chris, I'm sorry to interrupt, but yeah. We have an agenda we got to try to stick to. I'm sorry.
Who was that young woman who did the horse scene from Auntie Mame? fast forward 10 years, Shelley Long.
Cheers.
All right.
That's my one tangential touch with faith.
Oh, thank you.
And humor has become very important in my life 70 years later.
We appreciate you sharing. Thank you so much.
I remember the items you listed. I've been a resident of Sandy for about a decade or so, born and raised in Eugene. I work in Tualatin at a company called Lam Research. So we make equipment that produces computer chips, which is an interesting industry lately. And I run the Environmental Health and Safety Program globally for us. So this commission obviously is adjacent to what I do at work, and I'm specifically here because this was the first one I did for a county. I'm also involved in one in Washington County, but it was a chance to get more involved in local government, which I just find very interesting, and this process is great. So that's why I'm here. Fun fact for my life is not anywhere as interesting as Chris's, but I'm a terrible, I am an epic failure at gardening, and this is new year. And every year, I believe I'll do better. So this is the year I'm going to turn around and actually get something to grow. So I say that. So I'm growing avocados and eucalyptus. So you can understand where I'm going.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah. Will, would you like to share some?
Sure. Yeah. So as I said, Will Mathias. I work for Hollow here in Oregon City. Been in the industry for 20 years, really enjoy it, really enjoy numbers. That's, that's the role I play is with numbers. So because of that, I mean, like finance guys, I mean, we really don't have fun facts. So when you love numbers, I mean, my kids are like, you what? I'm on this board because or this commission because just to support with any questions that come up and just give Holly perspective. So and glad to be a part of it. So anyway,
thank you. Yeah,
Carlton, I'm Carlton Palmer again. I'm the senior district manager for waste management of Oregon. So I guess I'm responsible for all things related to our operations in the Portland metro area. I've been with waste management for just over 22 years now. I started off as a driver in the early stages of my career and relocated up to Washington and managed multiple facilities up there and had an opportunity to move back home to the Portland metro area just about 5 years ago before COVID started, which was quite a ride. And just like Chad, I wanted to be more involved in the local government and, help give a hauler's perspective as a representative here today and moving forward. And I don't know if it's a fun fact, but I'm also a full-time student. So I go to the University of Denver. I'm in finals week right now, and next term will be my last. So.
Wow, congrats.
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 You guys are doing
the
test right now.
Nice. Thank you. And Julie, would you like to share with us?
Oh, sure. I'm Julie Hamilton. I work in, as I mentioned, public health here in Clackamas County. I'm the Environmental Health Program Manager, and I got started in environmental health for the city of Long Beach in California over 25 years ago. So it's been a long career and working for local public health, and I love it. Let's see. Fun fact. My favorite job was working for Disneyland. I got to work for Disneyland up more than 30 years ago, just for a summer, and I met my husband, and actually this month is our 27th wedding anniversary. So.
Oh, congrats.
I know. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Chair, do we have time to hear from Rick and myself, or would you prefer to keep it just
a commission? Yeah, no, let's do it. I think with the newer folks.
We don't have time.
The newer folks, I think it would be helpful for us.
Okay. All right. I'm Kate Taylor. I work with Clackamas County in sustainability. I have been in the field for over 10 years and have experience in business outreach and multifamily residential outreach, now working here at the county a little over about a year and a half now. And just really excited to be here. Never a dull moment. There's so much happening in our county, and really thankful to work for an awesome team. So, fun fact, I love soccer. I've been playing since I was 5, and I discovered foot golf this weekend in Happy Valley, and it was amazing. So that's my fun fact.
That's a good fun fact. That's a good fun fact. Rick Winterhalter, been with the county for a minute, and so started at Oregon State, Go Beavs, was the student recycling coordinator there, and kind of kept that on, and then a job opened up here. Well, several jobs opened up, and this one I took, and so I've been here for a while working, and it's just a great, I don't know, it's a great group of people. You guys mentioned, you know, hearing from the collector's perspective. I mean, learning this business over all these years has been, you know, really helpful, and having that perspective. I always say we have these crazy ideas and we throw them out there and you guys figure out how we're going to do it. And that's, I think, just the great thing about this system and what makes Oregon unique in this realm. It's kind of like, I don't know who was at the forum the other day, but David Alloway kind of reminded us when he goes out across the country and talks about, you know, the things that Oregon's are doing. He goes, yeah, we're still in that, you know, either top or top third, and it's because of everybody here in the room. And so it's just been fantastic. And like Kate says, you know, it's never a dull moment. There's always something happening. And so I think it's really good. And, you know, my motivation was, you know, all these big, large, looming environmental issues that face the planet. And it's kind of like, okay, I can talk to somebody and get them to make a choice of, you know, doing this with, a, you know, their waste, or this with their waste. Do that. That's starts that maybe people thinking about it. At least that was kind of my motivation. Fun fact maybe was I got to working here. One of the most fun things was I got to water ski every day at lunch for about 15 years. So not every day, but every day from May to the end of October. We almost made it to November. But anyway.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, I think the next item on our agenda was the chair and vice chair elections. So we should start maybe with the vice chair. I think that's good.
Yeah. Right. And you also have the option if you want to table it, if you wanted to stay with the current chair and table the vice chair till next meeting, that is an option.
Okay.
If you'd like it.
Let me ask this. Do we have any nominations for a vice chair role or any? Okay.
No, we've not had that conversation.
Okay.
You can start with this discussion if you'd like.
So, I mean, is there anyone that wants to at least raise a nomination? If not, now we'll revisit it at the next meeting.
I think I know too little to do anything.
That's fair.
Okay,
so then the next one would be the chair, and I believe I'm like an incumbent. And again, if there's any nominations, if any self-nominations for a chair role, otherwise we can do a vote for that role.
Yes, anyone interested in serving in either?
Not everybody at once.
Well, we do have the vacancy of the vice chair, so I guess we can put it to a vote.
That's another great opportunity, yeah. Okay,
yeah.
So then I think that we have a vote to make for myself. That's appropriate for me to put that out. So,
yeah, if someone would like to make a motion,
yeah,
and
someone
then
should,
someone can second.
Make a motion for myself or a different motion for chair.
I move you be elected as chair.
Do we have a second?
I second.
Okay, all in favor?
All
right. Okay. Is that was everyone? Okay, got it.
I think we got that. Get that.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Short game.
Yeah. Okay, great. So thank you. So that closes item number 3 for now. The next one, probably the more substantive topic, is our draft amendments I know, Rick or Kate, do you guys want to give like a summary of
go ahead.
The changes that we're looking at?
So what I sent out to you, so this is kind of the first, you know, look at these rules. We've been sitting and trying to make some changes for a while. They were originally written in 2009. There have been subsequent, you know, some amendments as we go along. We had to do a couple code changes, and so those made some changes in the rules as well. Food waste collection, business recycling requirements, those sorts of things. But we kind of wanted to make a look at the rules in total and make some changes. Some of our local jurisdictions or regional jurisdiction partners have been making some changes in their rules. And so we looked through those. We did kind of model this full transparency and credit where credit's due. We looked at Washington counties and kind of have modeled after that. And we've made changes to that. We're not sharing, like, all the changes that we've made thus far, because they were a lot. And so we wanted, you know, so that's why we shared, you know, what we're currently working with, because, you know, trying to look through at all that track changes is just messy. So we've, you know, been through this, had, you know, lots of conversations back and forth at the staff level, just recently shared with the collectors, what, a week ago. So it's new and fresh in everybody's hands. If there's anything, and we've took some immediate comments we heard from a couple of the collectors, and we put those in a copy, so we'll be sharing those in the future. But if there's anything that you see or have questions about or any of that nature, please, you know, let me know, and then we'll work on changes. And if you have things that you want to talk about broadly, or if you've had the opportunity to look, or any questions you may have about administrative rules, please ask it now. But I don't, we're not looking for any action today, Mr. Chair. You know, just to get it out there, and we'll see how the discussions go. You know, we can have discussions over email, you know, if you want. We can pick it up again at our next meeting. It'd be nice to have some action then, but it's a lot. And so if we want to wait until our next meeting, we can do that as well. You know, waited a while. There are some of these things that we do want to get in there, some regional service standard changes and that sort of thing. But everybody's, let me say this, everybody's complying with those, I mean, as they come along. So there's nobody, it's not any thing that we're trying to, any parade of horribles or anything that we're trying to fix. So, which is very fortunate. When we communicate with the collectors about things, they're like, oh yeah, that's kind of what we do. So I think we're in pretty good shape. But there may be some things we run into something. So that's, we'll have those discussions, I think, in the future. So I just kind of wanted to introduce those.
Okay. And so the staff preference would be that, like, specific suggestions or...
Yeah, and then we'll, you know, if you have those, and as you're looking at it, I know it'll be sitting on your nightstand, and that'll be it'll be a regular read. But, you know, just like we can have a book club in between if you want. But, I mean, so we can, yeah, we can certainly have a back and forth on email that we can share with everybody. And we'll if, even if they come in individually, we'll put them in a document, and the next documents you see will have all of those kind of comments, possibly have staff responses in there. Some may be circled like, hey, we need to have a conversation about this. So the process with the rules, we don't have to take rules to the board. So we bring the rules to the commission as staff. We could take them straight to the director to have them sign, but we've just always had this policy of kind of bringing things to the commission so that you can review these things, and everybody, you know, public collectors can have that discussion. So anyway, I think there's a lot of value in that.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions or items to clarify with the draft changes? So, Rick, I do have one.
Please.
I think you explained it, but I want to make sure I'm clear. So there were two packages sent out, and the draft is like 9 pages more, and there were track changes. But I think what you're saying is, there are track changes, but there are many more changes that aren't tracked. So that kind of captures the...
Yeah, probably was about 18 pages, not quite, with all the track changes. Yeah. It was and ugly. Okay. You know how it gets where you get to so many, and a lot of it was just kind of wordsmithing and that sort of thing. So, but there are a couple places where there's substantive changes, and those we kind of left in there, so...
Got it. So any difference between the draft and the release rules are all proposed changes?
Yes.
Okay.
Everything in the draft is proposed.
Okay. Yeah, I have a list of items, but I think I'll just send an email to the group.
Awesome.
We can start about that.
Fantastic.
If you
guys feel that there's a benefit to reviewing them more in depth, and we can do a in-between meeting to just kind of hash that out and get clarity.
Okay.
Sometimes things get confused in email.
So. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes really quick work of that. I thought that would take like an hour all by itself.
It could.
Yeah, or more, yeah. Okay, so then the next item is community survey results.
I think we can just like jump into the first slide. I guess to be transparent about how I was involved in this process, Tennille, I think, took the lead on creating the survey questions. I was hired right before the postcard was mailed to residents, which I'll talk about in a second. So I helped collate and analyze like the results of the survey, and I've put this presentation together on it, just so you understand who was involved with what. Our department, Sustainability and Solid Waste, has conducted this survey annually since 2018. And we conduct it as a best practice to allow the public to provide input about, their feelings about their collection service, recycling. We'll go through some of the questions and areas in this presentation so that we can improve our programs and services. And then we also provide collector-specific results in a report, which is going to happen post this meeting within the next 2 weeks, so that they have information about what their customers specifically are saying about their service, as well as other, specific comments that relate to those collectors. So we mailed a postcard in early October to approximately 187,000 residential, multifamily, and commercial customers in the county. The front of the postcard contained recycling sorting information, so it's an educational opportunity. And then the back of the postcard encouraged customers to take the survey. We provided a link to our website, and that in turn linked to SurveyMonkey. We also have that link up throughout the year, which allows the public to provide feedback at any point in time, but we find the majority of survey results or, respondents take place with the prompting of this mailer that goes out. In the past, we've encouraged respondents to take out the survey by providing an incentive or like a prize. We provided a raffle where they could win a gift card, but we did not do that this year, and I'll speak more to that in a few slides. Oh, thank you. I'm advancing my notes. Thank you.
Yeah.
So the survey had 15 questions. It takes about 3 minutes to complete. So, we want to keep it short and sweet so people are more, and we tell them up front what to expect so they don't think, oh, what am I getting into? And The results in this presentation are from October 15th, 2024 to November 15th, 2024, which again captures when the majority of respondents took the survey. And we had 703 respondents this year. So as I was saying previously, the dark teal bars with higher participation show when we gave this incentive, which was a $35 credit on a collection bill for residential customers. Multifamily residents got a $35 bulky pickup, which our department coordinated. And commercial customers would receive a $100 credit on their collection bill. And again, they were put in a drawing with the ability to win this, since we can't give this to everyone, unfortunately. And the light teal shows when we did not provide an incentive due to logistical complications, so participation went down. So the data, and I already said that, excuse me. Like I said, 703 respondents took the survey. We did provide the option for respondents to take it in English or Spanish, and the postcard did say this, but we only had three respondents taking it in Spanish. The majority were in English. Most respondents were residential, with only 3% of multifamily customers taking it, and 1.35% of commercial customers answering the survey. And this is roughly in line with what we've seen it with past participation. Just residential tends to have more feedback. And then this is our geographic breakdown. Unincorporated county, you can see, is the largest swath, and then followed by Lake Oswego and Milwaukee, which have larger customer populations, is my understanding.
Was this the percentages of respondents or total?
Respondents in each area or jurisdiction. And then each year, aside from standard cost and quality of service questions, we also ask a variety of questions pertaining to current topics or potential services. So this year's questions focused on recent collection changes, such as batteries, which we have a slide on in a moment, and potential changes resulting from the Recycling Modernization Act implementation, excuse the tongue twister, curbside glass recycling, and to gauge customer engagement, interests, and or dissatisfaction. So glass recycling, like I said, the Recycling Modernization Act is looking at making this a depot drop-off item versus curbside. So we wanted to get people's thoughts on this. If they lived within 20 minutes of a depot, were they going to use it? And the majority of customers said no. Like, we're not really into that. We also had this question last year, but, you know, we've been doing a lot of outreach, both collectors and the county and partners, on proper battery recycling and disposal. We wanted to know, were residential customers aware that they could, in single family homes, aware that they could discard batteries at home following three simple steps. We also included that information in the survey so they could learn more about it. While the majority of customers said they did not know this, 44%. This is down from 51% last year, so it does actually show an increase in awareness to the outreach, which I would consider statistically significant. We also asked about which items do customers take to a recycling drop-off. I don't know quite what to say about this. We were initially wondering about the beverage containers with the refunds, but someone else on our staff who just joined, Angela Dunham, previously worked
at OVRC. Yeah.
Thank you. And so she actually said that this actually seemed a little lower than she would have expected, considering we have a lot of rural customers. So she does think that this is accurate. So this is how the public rated customer service aggregated throughout all of the collectors in the county. 64% say very good or good, 9% were bad or very bad, and then the rest were neutral or did not know. And then we did have a follow-up question, which we're going to provide this information to collectors about if they said rated the customer service poorly, like why. And options included calls not being answered, billing issues, calls or emails not being returned, employees being rude, misinformation being provided, and they were also given the option to write in a response. We asked, how do you rate your collector's collection service? And it would have filled it in with the collector they chose. And we also asked, how do you rate your collector's cost? We thought it would be beneficial to compare this on the same slide, because while you can see the quality of service was rated pretty highly, cost was rated more negatively. And while we... and actually I have another slide on this to talk more about it in a moment, but for quality of service, you know, we provided options of repeated missed pickups of recycling garbage or glass, trucks leaving behind litter, unsafe driving of trucks, mistreatment of cans by drivers, or collection in residential areas occurring before an allowed start time. And again, they were also allowed to write in a response to provide additional information. But this is showing how quality and cost have shifted over time. And you can see that collective satisfaction with cost of garbage is decreasing in recent years. And while we can't completely infer this from results, we acknowledge that there is an alignment with inflation. So we personally think that people might have said they were unhappy about cost just because they're unhappy about cost generally. And they might have been wanting to send a message that, hey, and we actually did get specific comments of, please don't raise our rates anymore. So I think that's worth noting. And again, because we've been asking these questions consistently over time, we are able to compare the results over time. We, you know, I read through every single comment that customers left, and I categorized them for each collector into categories. You know, while customer comments deferred with collectors, and we've anonymized them for the sake of this presentation, the blue here is showing for each collector what the top concern was for each collector. But you can see that there are some patterns. Again, cost was at 17%. Service concerns were at 13%. But the top one was recycling concerns. And this is a few things that I kind of combined together. Recycling concerns were advocating for more options to recycle single-use plastics like clamshells, plastic bags, and polystyrene, especially with easy curbside pickup. So 44 responses or 12% mentioned expanded plastics recycling. 32 responses or 8% specifically mentioned polystyrene. 34 responses or 9% of comments asked specifically for Ridwell to be made available countywide. So alternatives like Recycle Plus might not be widely known about yet. Other recycling concerns, including having more depot options, more easily available. And some people expressed concern that items collected curbside were being recycled responsibly. A few comments mentioned support of keeping glass in curbside recycling, which, you know, probably because we asked a question specifically about it. So these comments lead us to believe that expanded recycling options like local depot drop-offs for more recyclables that the Recycling Modernization Act will make available will be well received by the public.
Quick question. What was the percentage of people that specifically asked for Ridwell?
34 responses or 9%.
34 responses, not percentage.
Yes, okay. Yeah, 9%. Yeah, so I think the word got out, Ridwell wasn't available, but word has not fully gotten out that Recycle Plus is an alternative. I just pulled a few comments in a few categories. So they're happy about the flyers that we are mailing out, which is awesome, and some of the other outreach, which I know collectors do. We got multiple comments saying that their drivers or collectors are really great, which is fantastic. I mean, I'll allow you to reread them for a moment instead of reading them to you. And this slide deck will be provided as well. So, again, we got negative comments around rate increases. It was a smattering. But this is to be expected, and this is the information we want. You know, we want to hear good and bad things, and or neutral. Suggestions. One of them was around providing a program for low-income families, which I believe is something we're looking into. And again, having increased or improved options for recycling, especially plastics. And then we did get a number of, 38 people or 10% of people asked about food waste service, and then another 5% of customers asked for yard debris service, which you know, these aren't available for every jurisdiction. So I just thought that was noting as well. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them now. I'm also happy to follow up via email if you'd like.
Any questions?
Are there any ideas to generate more participation to get the trend back up in the future?
That is something we're looking into. It was honestly a county logistical difficulty, but we ideally would like to provide that incentive to get participation up again. I think it is challenging to get people to take surveys generally, but especially when no incentive is provided.
You know, one thing that may be a correlation that I noticed is the satisfaction around maybe quality and cost were lower with the non-incentivized surveys. So potentially you could be getting people that are more personally motivated to reply versus people that are like, yes, I'll do this survey because I'm getting a thing out of it, even if I'm generally happy across the board. People are more motivated to speak up when they have something that they want to say.
I think that's an excellent point. Yeah, I think sometimes, when people are more dissatisfied, they're more driven to tell you.
Yeah. So you're kind of maybe getting less dilution that way.
That's a good point, yeah.
I have a question about programs that just I kind of picked up out of this. So one of the questions was, if you get glass recycling, or do we have customers that may not have glass recycling as a curbside option?
No, everybody has.
Okay. I may have just misread the question. And batteries are available in the glass collection countywide.
Cities and counties, rural, and urban. Yeah.
But only for single family residential.
Yes, only for single.
Okay, any other questions?
Yeah.
All else? Thank you for sharing those.
Yeah.
Insightful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Angela.
Maybe, and actually, sorry, one more question that's kind of rattling around for a staff question. So in those categories, for example, recycling, is, like from a staff side, are you guys looking at things to consider, do, maybe bring for us to look at or talk about to address some of those areas of opportunity?
As far as increased...
Well, like recycling was one of the bigger areas. Is that something that...
There are going to be, well, we're not going to see too many changes right now, but I can talk about a little bit,
okay.
Address that. Next thing, I think it is a challenge. It is what we're, the Recycling Modernization Act, and I'm just going to say RMA so I don't get tongue-tied, but the Recycling Modernization Act, the legislation that was passed, 23, I think is when it was passed, and that we're moving along is an extended producer responsibility program that puts the onus and the funding part of the collection of packaging and printing and writing materials on the brand owners, and so they will probably be motivated to find ways to either, you know, the hope is they find ways to redesign their packaging to make less plastic or to at least work towards recyclability or reuse or those types of things. So that's the big goal of the Recycling Modernization Act. As far as collection, we will not have an opportunity to change what is put in our cart, in our curbside cart. That is now going to be a decision that's done kind of statewide, collectively. I mean, people will be involved with the brand owners and the DEQ to see what materials will go in there. Because one of the key things that we have in the Recycling Modernization Act is a responsible end market component of that, so that the material recovery facilities that are commingled recycle recycling processing facilities now that they have to show and manifest essentially that they have a responsible end market where that material is going, so that it doesn't wind up in a paper mill in some foreign country, and all of the plastic that's in that paper bale winds up in a, in a river somewhere. The parade of horribles that we've seen. So, and not that that happened a lot with material leaving Oregon, but still, it happened in the industry. And so that to me is kind of one of the key things out of that Recycling Modernization Act. And I kind of made a note with that, because we do hear increasingly, the concern from the public is, you guys are just throwing it in the landfill. You guys aren't recycling this stuff. And those of us in the room know that's not true. But it's things like that when you see the plastics in the river and those kinds of challenges and the, and that happens because of market conditions, et cetera, et cetera. But so, we hope, I think we're just trying to find our way to implement this law. So hopefully we can find a way to educate as well that this is what the law is doing, and hopefully we can get some trust back from the public, because I think that's it's just really frustrating to, hear the collectors get yelled at about things like they're the ones that aren't making it happen and that sort of thing. So we hope we can, from a statewide perspective, we hope they can fix that.
Yeah, I was going to say, personally, there's positive comments about the drivers, so that's...
Always.
That's good. With the statewide alignment of allowable materials in the bin, does that reduce the capacity of Recycling Plus, or does that leave headroom, or other items can go into Recycling Plus in alignment with what the state says can go in a bin?
That's a question. That's a good question. And in this area, a lot of those materials that are already in Recycle Plus are what they're calling PRO materials, or the Producer Responsibility Organization, that was formed by the legislation that is responsible for being the intermediary between the brand owners and the state and the rules that have to occur. So that in the name of the group is the Circular Action Alliance. And they kind of got their start here, and they've just been growing, and now they are also the designated PRO, Producer Responsibility Organization, in the five states, the five other states throughout the country who have similar laws. So they're hoping, because one of the biggest things from brand owners is, as everybody knows, you have your way of collecting data and that sort of thing. So how are they going to share that data? How are they going to pay into the system? And that sort of thing. So I got a little away from your question about, so bring me back.
Recycle Plus.
Recycle Plus. Thank you.
What we have itemized as allowable and Recycling Plus, does any of that come off the table with state alignment? I think now that you've said PRO a few times, I'm thinking back, and styrofoam's like the one thing we don't have that the state considers a PRO.
Yes, and that will be, so some of those products will be what we were going to say.
Well, I was going to say, so there's also part of the PRO is a collection point.
Yeah.
So there's the list of what goes in the bin. There's also a list of what the PRO has to collect at collection points. So I think the only overlap between what's in Recycled Plus currently is the film, which is a PRO material, but we haven't explicitly been told it needs to come out, because there's collection points right now where people could take film. They're basically paying for the convenience to have it collected from their home. So we aren't under the impression that anything would change with Recycle Plus.
Yeah, that's been hard. It's been a hard thought.
And have the PROs set up those collection points?
No.
Okay, I was going to say, I don't think we're talking about, like...
Yeah, it's going to be a process. So they're in they've just had their third plan iteration drafted. So they are, so the PROs, and it's ambitious. I mean, it's like a two-year program plan. And then, so at the end of 27, they'll be starting to plan for the next 2 years. So it's just going to be interesting to see. And we're still, as somebody has said, described it, the train has left the station and we're building the train, so that's kind of the way it is, and The other analogy has been, you know, it's a dimmer switch. It's not like July 1 is going to come and this thing's going to be on. And for our region, this is where the rest of the state, this is kind of one of those things that's trying to get every, you know, other folks in the state up to. And so folks have a lot of collection throughout the state. And you guys, please correct me anything that I say that's not right. So they have different lists throughout the state of material that can be collected, and largely because of market conditions and distance from the markets and that sort of thing. So in those areas, now we're going to have a unified statewide collection list. So it's going to look a lot like the list that we already have. So we are not going to see any big, huge change in the future for our collection. I think what we will see is, Tennille alludes to, is there may be some more, used depots, but we kind of use the word collection points because like the grocery stores are good collection points for film, good return to retail, and I think the brand owners want to keep those going. So we hope to see those advertised more and we get more participation there. But there will be depots for the materials that the producer responsibility organization are required to collect. And I can't remember all of them off the top of my head. It's
the
styrofoam. Yeah, the four packs for beer cans or soda cans.
Propane,
the small propane styrofoam containers. That's right. Still styrofoam.
Aerosols,
except for here, but it's under discussion.
Shredded paper,
but shredded paper is not going to be at the collection points either, is it? Is it going to be at the PRO? Is this the spot? Yeah, maybe. So yeah, so those. Yeah. So we're not going to see a big change right away, and it's going to take a while to build out those collection points and depots. There's supposed to be 40 some in the county, or in the region, which is woefully inadequate. But
what does the region consist of? Like, what's the boundary of that region?
The region is a three-county area.
Okay,
so the West, the Wayshed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Three-county, beyond Metro.
Yeah, beyond the Metro District. So, yeah.
I was going to say the one place where we might see it change is on the mountain.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I think we have an opportunity. And so some of the components of this Recycling Modernization Act are system expansions, which in other parts of the state are going to be probably pretty big and heavy lifts and lots of trucks purchased and containers and different things like that. For us within our area, we've provided these services, you know, since the mid-80s, you know, out in the rural area and throughout now. But we do have challenges up on the mountain. I mean, just because it's a challenging area. You guys have all camped out there, you know, or in a cabin or something. You know what those roads are like. And they serve, you know, collect garbage and recyclables curbside up there. So, you know, there's some challenges, and we're hoping to modernize that. So that was the one place that we did look to set in the process that, yes, we may want to do some expansion up in that area. And so we hope to get some help from the PRO to do that. So that's the Recycling Modernization Act, so there are a lot of moving parts. We're, frankly, still trying to figure it out. I think all of us are still trying to figure it out. We keep, as I've said to people in talking or driving different places with folks, it's like every time we get to the end of a conversation and we think we know, and it's just like nobody knows. You know, this we're not sure. It's just a lot of moving parts. But we are getting, I think we're getting closer. We're one of the processes that we're in right now, the county has challenges, benefits, but, you know, we have a cooperative agreement with all of our cities in the county, and we have had for a long time. And that's how we do, you know, our opportunity to recycle all the requirements, the state requirements prior to this. Of the opportunity to recycle our outreach efforts and those kinds of things. We have a memorandum of understanding with all of the cities to perform that work all of that recycling work, and of course we work with the collectors on that. We don't have any authority to do any franchise regulation or any rate review that we would do. We don't have that in any of the cities, with the one exception being Happy Valley. We have an IGA with them, and have had since 1971 or two or something like that, since they started. It couldn't be that. Whenever the city started. So we don't have that authority, but we do have that outreach authority. So now we're in the process of, there is some money attached to this work that can be done in the Recycling Modernization Act. So one of the key pieces for us in this region is the contamination reduction fee. And so they have in statute says cities and counties can receive up to $3 per capita for to do contamination reduction outreach. That can come in a lot of different forms. It could be cart tagging. It could be, which we've talked about before, it can be cameras in hoppers. You know, a lot of folks are doing that, where there's some really cool things that can be done. You know, you can identify, identify that, oh, hey, 121, you know, 1215 8th Street just put, you know, he's putting garbage in his recycling again. You know, you got to stop him from doing that. And so then we can reach out to them through a messaging or that kind of thing. So there are a lot of things that we'll be able to do. That's kind of down in the weeds, but first things we have to do is say to the cities, hey, there's this opportunity to get this funding. We'd like to continue doing what we're doing with the opportunity recycling, opportunity to recycle and receive that money on your behalf, and, you know, plan the programs, do the reporting, everything that comes with it, work with the collectors on what that's going to look like. And so we're in that process right now of talking to the cities about that. There are other funding sources on there as well. Some of them are a study to, you know, to evaluate different methodologies for contamination reduction. So we can, you know, we could create something like, you know, we could create a study to look at that. May involve collectors, may involve buying different containers. We don't know. So there's just a lot of moving parts. But all of that funding is based on reimbursable, or, you know, a clear plan of how that money is going to be spent. So it's not like, unlike the Metro money, which is a distribution of a pool of funds, you know, so that every year there's a pool of funds that are there, and that money is distributed. We receive that money. That's what we budget and do everything from. So this will be a little different animal. So it's going to be curious to see how that goes. So that's the process we're in right now. There are, you know, tons of questions, tons of things that are going on. We will continue to bring things forward when we have some things to talk about. That makes sense. Anything I missed? Anybody in the room? I mean, there's a lot that I've missed.
Yeah.
Right?
There's
a very high level.
It's 400 pages.
Yeah, there's a very high level. But I think that's the meat of what we're working on right now. So, you know, we're exchanging emails right now to make sure we've got the right people on this. So the cities have to sign, and the county does, a funding authorization form in order to the DEQ, so that then we can enter into contractual arrangement, funding agreement with the PRO. So that's kind of the bottom line. That's kind of the process where we are. Now everything else comes down the road. So I don't know if I hopefully captured that okay.
I mean, it's a beast.
That money would come to the county.
Yes.
Implement. Okay.
Yeah.
Quick question. Is there a deadline or a timeline for...
We need to have the funding authorization into the DEQ at the end of this month.
Okay.
So, and there's still even questions on the form. So,
yeah.
Trying to figure that out. I think we're getting there, though.
Did you have another question, or did we answer?
That's a summary of RMA. We kind of drifted into that topic. So.
Yes, we did. Well, you kind of offered that up.
I did.
Any other questions about the changes to RMA or what's where we're at?
Those are the big things.
Okay.
Yeah, those are definitely big rocks.
All right, so second to last agenda is the general updates. Is there anything specific staff has to update on?
Yeah. If you all would help me out, I just want to make sure that I accurately captured the voting of Chair Euler. And so the motion to appoint was made by Commissioner Chris Lamar. It was seconded by Commissioner Carlton Palmier. And then the vote, I believe Chair Euler abstained, correct?
I can't vote for that, yes.
Right, so it's 5-1. Okay, just making sure. So that's what I've got down. I just want to make sure that was accurate. And then I wanted to share that we've been kind of discussing this as staff, and we're thinking that having an hybrid option moving forward for the public would be really helpful. We still strongly, highly encourage and see so much value in in-person participation from commissioners. We just think there's a lot of value in in-person interaction, and we want to have an option, an accessibility piece for members of the public, and then if it is needed for a commissioner or a staff member to attend hybrid. So moving forward, we will be making that standard practice that will be part of our agenda, will be a Zoom link. But again, highly, we enjoy being able to see everyone in person and connect. I think there's a level of connection you can get in person that's very different from in a rectangle, but it has its place. So we wanted to throw that out there. If that resonates, that was kind of our plan as staff for accessibility.
I think that's a great idea. I mean, is that a decision we want to log or just take input on?
I don't think it necessarily needs to be voted on, but okay. I think input, you all feel strongly one way or another, I think that's good to know.
Does anyone have any input on hybrid options?
As long as you don't mention the word COVID,
I think that's a great, especially specifically for the public, because it would further increase engagement.
Great. Okay, and then the second piece. We tentatively would like to have our next Solid Waste Commission meeting on May 8th, and so I will send out a calendar invite either this evening or tomorrow morning for everyone. So that was going to be my next question, is we typically meet between 3 or 4, but I wanted to see if there was any discussion on that.
Is that also a Tuesday?
I believe it is a Thursday, so we can be to issues with rates on the Tuesday, the 6th, the board.
Yeah, I guess for especially for the new members, I mean, that May 8th meeting, we will have gone through our annual review process and with the collectors, and that will be kind of the primary discussion point, as well as we should hopefully have some conversation about the admin rules as well.
Thanks for that context.
We would be reviewing budget at that time.
Yeah, we'd be looking at that, our annual review of the collectors and looking at the composite and how the system's doing, and do we need to make a rate adjustment.
Can I make a suggestion? Would the week prior be open? Is that possible? Or is May 8th kind of like the...
I don't know that we'll have the staff report ready by then, given the timeline for the review of the 7 o'clock.
We can look.
But we can check.
Okay.
We can check. Yeah.
That is a staff-driven day.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I will certainly be hybrid on that day.
Is there an option for time change?
Yeah, that was is the question that I kind of put folks. Yeah.
Yeah, does the group have a preference on afternoon or morning? Or any limits on morning, I should say?
Midday would be bad, but early morning or later this time would be good.
Early afternoon, perhaps.
Early afternoon?
I'm flexible.
And midday would be like after 2 or? Okay. We'll make it work.
Okay.
I'll be hybrid as well on that one. I'll be in Georgia, but
okay. And then, so are you planning a trip abroad? Would it be helpful to have a different?
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe time is TBD.
Yeah, I mean, it needs to happen. Can we move it later by like 2 weeks?
We can't move it later.
Okay, then we'll pop on.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That we can't do.
Okay.
Yeah. We explored the options. That's all that matters. Okay.
So, May, any other updates?
I don't think so, unless Rick or staff has anything additional.
Anything from the guests?
Yeah.
Really curious about what comments went with which comment.
You will be receiving that soon.
That's your last station too.
I only answered it about 20 times.
Did we go down to the driver level by name or?
I don't have that information memorized.
Will you guys be able to share that slide deck with the, because I wasn't able to get everything? Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
That information is hugely helpful for us.
Yeah.
And you'll have your own
perfect.
Yeah.
I found it very interesting about the not wanting to go to depots necessarily. Yeah, so I think that as Metro looks at their system facility plan and adding more depots and the cost that they have estimated, what, between $230 million to $300 million, that I'm a member of the Regional Waste Advisory Committee representing industry, and at our meeting last Thursday, we just very seriously recommended that as we were making suggestions for council, the Metro Council, to consider going forward, which Metro Council is to look at that on March 20th, that they really look at cost and reducing cost. And so the themes seen in that survey, I think, carry forward and would be good information for Metro staff to have in consideration prior to March 20th when the council looks at it. So,
yeah, I personally would be interested in teasing out the information more if Metro is open to exploring it, because I don't know if it's something they have curbside and they don't want taken away, because we did get a few comments that more depot options for other types of plastics were welcome, or if it's like seen as a bulky, hard item to, or they generate enough of it, like, so there
that
might be
sense.
Some there might be some nuance there. It's
sure.
hard to say.
Sure. And I will say that the Circular Action Alliance, which is the umbrella organization for the producers, the PRO, that they prefer curbside collection, and that was another thing that came out in the Regional Waste Advisory Committee meeting last week, that really curbside collection, and again, I'm speaking for industry, but this was actually a local government person that made the comment, was that they wanted Metro Council to look aggressively at existing infrastructure, and curbside collection as being one of the most efficient ways for material to be managed. So as we look at Circular Action Alliance likes curbside collection, it's existing already, and it helps them with their required numbers that they need to collect material. So.
and I don't know if this is totally politically correct to say, but Circular Action Alliance has a financial incentive to keep costs down for their producers. So I would be curious if the depot option is more expensive for them on their end than adding it to curbside collection. So, but I
exist and already have staff.
Yeah. No, totally. But I just.
It's not necessarily a bad thing because of the efficiency I'm looking for.
Sure. I guess, sorry, I have a follow-up to that, which is that we, you know, historically in the industry, things were more separated like glass because it keeps the materials cleaner, so more can be recycled. So I'm sure there's been studies done, but there might be pros and cons to curbside versus depots generally.
So in the plan, they need to have staff.
Fair enough.
We'll save this discussion.
We're going into the week.
And actually, that did remind me a little bit of one thing I was going to ask about that survey. You had mentioned there were, like, in quality and cost, there were some, like, sub-questions that you spoke to. Were the write-ins substantial? Like, just overall, like, on any given question, was it, like, more than 5 or 10% of the response?
I would say overall, no. But I have the full survey data. I can review it again if you'd like.
And
I don't think glass was one that we asked like a follow up question for. So that could be something we look at updating the survey now or next year. Any of the questions really, if we want further information, we're open to the commission and the public to provide input on things to look at.
Okay. All right. Do we have any other public comments?
I just stepped out of the room, but did anybody mention that glass wine bottles would be considered for being added to redemption programs? And if, I mean, in my house, if take wine off the curb, there's not a lot left.
Well, so many pickle
germs. Here's my fun fact. That could change things because a lot of what is at the curb is wine. There's so much other alternative packaging now for a lot of food products. They're not showing up in glass jars anymore. So it's just an interesting thing to watch over the next few months and see how that goes. Because that could change some of the decisions that the CAA makes and how they approach collections statewide on glass. I think, I don't know. You follow it a lot as well.
Yeah, it is being considered. I have heard that it's not likely to pass because there's a particular senator that is not in support of it, and so I don't think it's going to catch any legs this year.
Okay, thanks. Hadn't heard.
I think that's a good comment generally, though, with tariffs.
It's okay.
Thank you.
I have a
Yeah, yes.
I noticed on the, my husband's into juice, and I noticed that other states have refundable containers. The only difference that I can see, I mean, deposit type of things, the only difference that I can see is that the ones that don't have the deposit return thing are slightly over, like 6 ounces maybe max. But I noticed at least 5 other states have those deposit things. Is that a legislative issue that would need to change, or is that something that DEQ or someone at these levels could make? It just
it looked like
the same kind of plastic to me, not that I know much about plastic.
When the bottle will change, I seem to recall there being like a change in the containers as well as part of that. Is that accurate? That there was like a broader set of containers that could
They added. I think it was like in 2018.
I remember that. And these are even larger.
I think the rule is 1.5 liters.
Something like
and I mean that's just what's written in.
Yeah. So it's a legislative.
It's a legislative.
Yeah, and the equipment would have to change for OPRC. You know, their equipment is set up a certain way to take certain sizes and shapes, and, you know, and so they'd have to make some changes with the equipment that they have, too. Yeah. So there'd be an investment there. I don't represent OPRC, so, but that's what I hear. So, thank you.
Okay. My only other staff update is just that all of the opportunity to recycle reports were submitted on behalf of the county and all of the cities for 2024. So those were sent to DEQ last month.
So. Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think that's it for updates.
All right. Any last comments, questions? Seeing that. All right, well, I think we can entertain a motion to adjourn.
So much.
Motion?
It was quick.
Seconded. All right.
Okay, so who made the motion real quick?
Chris.
Chris, thank
motion.
You.
Carlton seconded.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah,
thank you.